This is Larry London with more of the world's biggest hits after this news update on VOA 1. I'm Victor Beatty reporting the Nepal earthquake death toll now surpasses 4,300. Authorities in Nepal are carrying out mass cremations of earthquake victims as international humanitarian teams arrive in Kathmandu to help survivors. The death toll is now said to be above 4,300. Landslides and rubble blocking aid from reaching more remote areas. Communications are down in many rural areas, raising concerns about the number of casualties rising. Simon Thomason is with the UK humanitarian group Servon, a group that's expert in disaster response.
Our team is set up for reconnaissance, so going looking for casualties within buildings, and then we'll call the heavier teams in to extract them, sort of thing. So we'll use specialised equipment to find people buried deep down, and because we're not equipped for it at the moment, we'll call in the heavy teams and they'll hopefully come and dig them out.
Saturday's 7.8 magnitude quake struck 80 kilometers northwest of Nepalese capital Kathmandu, leveling parts of the capital's historic center. Scores were also killed in India, Bangladesh, Bhutan, and elsewhere along the remote Nepalese-Chinese border. The U.S. is providing another $9 million in aid for earthquake-ravaged Nepal. The added funding brings to $10 million the amount announced since Saturday's quake, with promises of more to come. It will be used for immediate relief, including search and rescue, providing emergency shelter, clean water, and sanitation. The French press agency reports hundreds of bodies have been found in and near the northeast Nigerian town of Damasak, recently liberated from the militant insurgent group Boko Haram by Chadian forces. A local resident said the bodies were found in recent days in houses, streets, and many in a dried-up riverbed. The victims were buried in mass graves. The discovery followed Nigerian army pushing Boko Haram from the Kamaranga Island on Lake Chad. This is VOA News. President Obama and visiting Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe meet for talks at the White House Tuesday, expected to focus on security and economic matters, including the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. Japanese and American officials Monday revised their bilateral defense agreement, giving Japan a stronger role in the region. Ashton Carter is the U.S. Defense Secretary.
Guidelines really represent a wonderful opportunity and a new high point in the alliance's history. At a time when Japan's own security posture is itself changing in historic ways, these guidelines allow us to modernize the U.S.-Japan alliance at the same time by breaking new ground on existing areas of military cooperation and helping us open new areas of military cooperation, both in the Asia-Pacific and around the globe.
The defense guidelines, last revised in 1997, follow a Japanese cabinet decision last year that reinterprets the post-war constitution, allowing for what is called Japan's collective self-defense. U.S. Defense Secretary John Kerry met Monday with his Iranian counterpart, Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif, for the first time since reaching a bilateral framework agreement to move forward with negotiations on a comprehensive nuclear pact. Earlier, Mr. Kerry told a U.N. nuclear conference the agreement would make the world safer.
From day one, we have been focused on bringing Iran back into compliance with its obligations under the treaty. And if ultimately the talks are successful, it will once again prove the power of diplomacy over conflict and reinforce the rule of law.
Negotiators from the U.S., Britain, France, Russia, China, and Germany face a June 30th deadline to reach an agreement with Tehran to curb its nuclear activities in exchange for a timetable to lift Western sanctions. Police in Burundi clashed for a second day Monday with protesters demonstrating against President Pierre Nkurunziza and his controversial decision to run for a third term. Police used tear gas, water cannon, and ammunition to disperse hundreds of protesters in the capital Bujumbura. The demonstrators managed to assemble despite security forces blocking roads and a government ban. At least five have died since the protests began on Sunday. On Saturday, the ruling CNDD-FDD party nominated Mr. Nkurunziza to another third term. Pro-government militia in Mali have taken a key town in the country's north from separatist rebels, jeopardizing a fragile ceasefire. Officials say the pro-government Tuareg group seized the town of Menaka Monday from another Tuareg armed group following months of relative calm. The city had been controlled by the main Tuareg separatist group, the National Movement for the Liberation of Azawad. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.